I'm just going to warn you now that I've only just finished hiccuping.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
And it could return at any moment.
Do you know, it's funny you say this. My dad has like a sort of prowess in helping people stop hiccuping.
Oh, what's his technique?
He times them and he tells people when to take a sip and he times the gaps between the hiccups and he'll be like, okay, drink now. And he does it in a very serious manner. Takes it very seriously. And
so
he'll be like, all right.
What are the timings?
Well, he'll time between the hiccups, how long it takes between each hiccup, and then he'll know when you need to drink.
Oh my word.
And he'll be like, all right, drink now. And it does, I work. It does work. So he basically, you drink like just before the next one is supposed to happen. And I don't know if it's just the act of the muscles when you're drinking or so, I don't know what it is, but it does work. And whenever he finds someone hiccuping, he'll be like, right, let me help you.
Goodness me, Mr. Kress, hiccup whisperer.
Yeah, he is genuinely. And I thought everyone just knew this, but no.
No, of course, no one's going around timing their hiccups. That's not a thing.
I thought it was just a done thing, but most people say you need to have a shock or something.
They say that, don't they? They say that somebody's meant to go boo.
They do say it, Martin, yes.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not that scared, but I've already finished hiccuping, so good. Not an issue.
Cured it, anyway, then. We did it. Way!
Yay, hooray. Hiccups cured. Turns out doing a podcast cures your hiccups as well. You might not be able to say a lot about this podcast, but maybe you can say that. And welcome to Nullpois.
Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for jurors.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
What kind of a leading in sentence was
I'm
that?
I'm just thinking, we should always be thinking of marketing opportunities.
What,
and
this?
Maybe we are the only podcast that can cure your hiccup.
What? But okay. What? So people listening can be cured of hiccups just by listening.
I think we need to have a word with your dad and just see what we can do about it.
Okay. Yeah. What? Do you want my dad to come on the podcast and just like be like, okay, drink now?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Oh God. Okay. I am seeing him this week, but no, that's not good. We can't have that happen.
Okay. Well, anyway, more on that maybe maybe later. Hello and welcome to Nullpois. My name's Martin. That's Laura. This is a Eurovision fan podcast called Nullpois, and it's all about the Eurovision Song Contest and hiccuping and what's-its and anything else
it's not about hiccuping.
Might want to talk about. And
it's just about Eurovision.
Plenty to come today. As usual, trivia time will return, and it's Kress who's giving you some crazy facts about the song contest from years gone by in just a little bit. But we start, as we usually do, with a little bit of news. And this really made me laugh earlier on this week. I thought, I've got to share it with you.
Lovely old Sunit.
Sunit, of course, who you will know from San Marino and Flo Rida fame from Eurovision 2021. She really brought the party. And she was a great... We always say, don't we love these characters that come out of Eurovision every year.
That's and what it's Sunit, all about.
Absolutely. And Sunit was really one of those characters. She was just fantastic.
Oh, she's so great because she really took the spirit of, as we've said... She went into the spirit with Eurovision and it's kind of what she mentions a little bit on this clip that we're going to have coming up later. But yeah, she very much clearly enjoys Eurovision for what it is. She wasn't just, taking part. I know some people are like Flo Rida, that's a bit of a gimmick. But the fact that she got Flo Rida to come and perform with her for Eurovision 2021 obviously shows that she... has some kind of talent in getting people involved in things. And the fact that she wants to bring big names to Eurovision. And it wasn't her first time taking part in Eurovision.
No.
She's taken part in it many times before. And I don't know, it's just clear that she really is in, she buys into it. Whereas some of these other acts, you can tell they're just there for a bit of fame, bit of fortune, trying to get their name out there, which is all well and good. But you could tell there's a bit more to Senit than that.
Yeah, she's really part of the Eurovision family in the way that everyone who takes part in Eurovision is, right?
Yes,
but some are on the peripheries of the family. Some are like second cousins twice removed. But Senit is, she's right in there. She's round their house every night
she's
for fish and chips.
Yeah.
She's really, really getting involved. So much so that there's been a lot of talk on social media recently about her perhaps hosting in Turin 2022, which I mean, it's sort of being said a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but I genuinely think would be great. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but it would be. Wouldn't that be great?
I hope it does happen. And the thing is, she is definitely latched on to people saying that she should. The thing is, it does make sense because she is, you know, she is Italian. So it's not like it's a completely random thing. People are just being like, Senit, yeah, why didn't she host? That there is a reason behind it. She's latched on to people saying that. And what's happened now, Martin?
Well, she has got involved and she's gone for it. By the way, I didn't actually know she was Italian. So that's something. I mean, great. In that case, there's every chance
San Marino,
of her.
You know.
Every chance. Of course, I just didn't think. There's every chance of her hosting it. So yes, come on, Senit. She said this on social media with a video. Recently, I saw lots of you people on the socials asking for me to be a host on the next Eurovision, and I was really surprised to see so much support, love, and trust. There was loads of love, support, and trust. So I thought it would have been funny to make something in response, and this is what she came up with.
Why do you think you're qualified for hosting Eurovision?
Why? Are you serious, man? First, I'm a super fan. Okay? Super, super fun. I keep my promises. And I brought a superstar worldwide famous rapper in the show. A certain Florida. Doesn't ring a bell? You wanna know another reason? I'm born and raised here in Italy, dude. 100% Italian. 100% mangia spaghetti. You see? You see? I'm a perfect bilingual. Come on! If we want to be completely honest, I care about Eurovision so much. That's why I will be very happy to help you host Eurovision 2022.
It's great, isn't it?
I just love her. I just love the energy. And that's what Eurovision should be all about. It shouldn't be about anybody. It should be about people just expressing themselves and having fun. And that's what Senit is doing. I was just talking about whereabouts in Italy she was born. Bologna.
Do you know what? We've talked about this on the podcast before. So I did know she was Italian.
Yeah,
goodness
yeah.
me. All of this there just goes go. Clearly completely over my head. I knew that. We've talked about it before. She is absolutely from Bologna because we thought that she was going to give us a tour if Eurovision was hosted there. God, fancy forgetting that. Oh, well, in that case, she's my number one choice for host. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
I know she's taking the pee a little bit there with the video, but I actually think she'd be good fun. And like, even if, you know, as is tradition with a Eurovision host, you know, that they don't always know what's going on or seem to have a clue, I think she would fit well into that. I think she'd have good fun with it. And that's what you really want to see from a host is, someone who can control the situation and maybe not like Toto in 91 have absolutely no clue what's going on and barely be able to speak English. She can speak English. That's a one up from Rome. So that, I mean, that definitely puts her on my books. I think she'd be good. I mean, obviously, I don't think she'd be the only host. They normally have at least three.
Oh, God, there's a whole... they usually got at least 10 people hosting it. I mean, I make this remark every year. How many people does it take to host a television show? You would think one, maybe two at a push.
Maybe two.
Turns out it's 12. At the very least, what do you think makes a good host? Just while we're on this, because I know some of the hosts that they've been in the past have been a little bit kind of wooden and boring, and I've completely forgotten about. But then there's been others, and I'm thinking particularly exactly of Petra and Mons that have really, really stood out, and I just wonder why.
Consummate professionals. That's the thing. I mean, obviously English perfect. They were bilingual as well. Consummate professionals, completely on it, but very funny as well. They looked relaxed. They didn't look flustered. obviously anything can happen on these live shows, so you've got to be really on it. It must be very difficult to present, I do have to say, because they must have so much information, you know, coming into their headpieces whilst they're having to look really calm and like...
And talk in English, which won't be their first
English,
language.
But they are both, you know, the Swedes are very good at English, and you could tell that, you know, they were very relaxed, fine. They worked well together. There was still a bit of that sort of funny Eurovision charm and kind of odd jokes and stuff. I mean, the thing is, they are very different from the normal Eurovision host, which is a group of people making weird jokes to each other that no one really gets, and there are odd pauses. But something about that is very Eurovision. So you could technically say Petra and Måns weren't very good Eurovision hosts because they were a bit too professional and slick.
They were a little bit too good at it, weren't they?
A little bit too good. Yeah, they could... If they could have toned it down, you would have been like they were the perfect Eurovision host. But they were definitely the gold standard of presenters, I think.
I absolutely agree. I mean, we loved them, didn't we?
It was so good. Absolutely. Everything about it.
Oh, fantastic.
That Swedish smorgasbord song they did, that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was also good, wasn't it?
Yeah. Anyway.
Love, peace.
And that. Yeah, there were just so many wonderful moments from that contest. I think if we watch one again, I think it's going to be that one because that was great. Anyway, could Sunit be the person to bring a similar sort of feel to the hosting duties in Turin 2022? Well, she certainly wants to. Oh, Chris, I tell you who won't be hosting.
Oh, go on. Me?
Well, yeah, okay. There's a long list of people who won't be hosting, but I think at the top of that list is Mika.
Oh, yes. Yes, I think you might be right there. Yes, this is the news that once again Mika has had to deny that he's going to host Eurovision 2022. He keeps getting asked it, I think because people seem to think he has a connection with Eurovision, perhaps because of his poppy songs. What I think some people don't realise is that Mika absolutely hates Eurovision.
He really cannot stand it. He absolutely hates it. It's awful. I think the more that this rumour goes on, right, so the more that he's associated with Eurovision, and then the more he denies it, and therefore the more he's associated with it, and it's a vicious cycle. The bloke basically he's going to have to host it.
Yeah, I just love the fact there must be people who keep going and be like, what about Eurovision, hey? And so this time, apparently, a French newspaper, a journalist, asked him if the rumour, what rumour? There's no rumour. No one is saying he's hosting it. Asking once again if the rumour is true. And he said, I really don't know what you're talking about. You must have read wrongly. Change your glasses. Mika... taking none of it. He really does not want to host Eurovision. Bless him. So, I mean, it must mean he's going to.
Yeah, so obviously he is. You heard it here first. Mika's hosting. No, he's not. He's not. Oh, God. You just reminded me, he's intending to check people's eyesight. I've got an eye test book soon.
Have you?
And it's my first, yeah, and it's my first one in 4 years. And I tell you, genuinely, I am terrified.
Why?
Hate opticians because I've always faint.
Oh, what?
Them.
Really?
Every time I go for an eye test, I faint.
Why?
It's really embarrassing.
Why? When?
I just don't like eyes.
Yeah, but they're... what? They're looking at your eyes. You're not looking at eyes.
Yeah, but they're talking about eyes and they're thinking
your
about
eyes. Your eyes are in your head all the time, Martin.
Oh, I know, and I wish they weren't. Like, they're talking about eyes. They're telling me about eyes. They're discussing eyes. I'm thinking about eyes, my own
or
eyes.
But they're just saying, look here, look there. Oh, they're not going that much into...
Oh,
what,
they
you
are.
Just faint?
Oh, yeah. I've fainted pretty much every time I've been to the opticians.
Oh, Martin, I'm sorry. That's horrible.
Do you know what happened once? And once I went to a very well-known and supposedly reputable opticians. And I
glad
went
you're
in there,
not naming them.
Yeah, and I went into the room and I said, look, just to let you know, there's a good chance I'm going to faint because it happens every time. So,
oh, bless. But aren't you in the chair?
Yeah.
You faint in the chair.
No, I run out and then and faint en route. And I said, just to let you know, there's a good chance I'm going to faint. So I'm going to need a few minutes in the middle of this to leave the room because it's going to happen.
Oh.
And so she's like, right, okay. And sure enough, I start feeling a little bit funny. I run out of the room. I manage to stop myself fainting. So I sit on this chair, put my head between my legs, like breathe deeply, manage to bring myself back from the brink.
Oh my God.
And I thought, oh, I'll just take a few minutes, like just compose myself and then I'll go back in. Went to go back in. They'd given my appointment to somebody else.
Oh my God, that's so bad.
Isn't that terrible?
That's really bad. And what happened? Did you have to wait?
I went and said, I was just in the middle of the, I've just had to run out because I was about to faint. I've literally been out of the room like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, well, sorry, you left the room. So that's it. Your appointment's over.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
Yes, I had to do the whole thing again.
Oh no. And did you faint?
No, I didn't faint that time round. But thankfully, and I've never been to that optician's again.
No, don't blame you.
There we are. Anyway, back on track now and talking about more Eurovision news. Sorry, Mika got me thinking about it.
I didn't know this about you, Martin, that you fainted every time.
Yeah.
I laugh. I normally end up laughing.
Oh, really?
That says the difference about, because they're looking at your eyes. They're peering into you. There's someone being like, all right, look at this. And I always just end up laughing. I find it really hard.
I know a guy who when he was like 16 or 17 went for an eye test, and it's all like dark, and like the optician was gazing into his eyes, and he leant in for a kiss and she kissed him back.
Oh, what?
I know.
Martin. What, so the person having their eyes test went for the kiss?
Yeah.
Are you sure the optician kissed her back, or were they just confused?
Well, I wasn't there. I'm only going on what he said.
Were they just like, oh, like, you know, like maybe if that happened, you wouldn't immediately be like, what?
She kissed him back. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Sounds like a 16-year-old saying that's what happened.
I mean, it definitely does, doesn't it? Anyway, back on track. And we're talking about the Eurovision Song Contest. And if you are a bit of a Eurovision nerd and you like Trivia Time, for example, and learning loads of stuff about Eurovision, then maybe something that's just opened in Iceland might be the thing for you.
Yeah, and I'm really excited. I think we should visit this, Martin. This is the Eurovision Museum, opened in, of course, Húsavík in Iceland. And why do I say of course? Well, because Húsavík plays a big part in the Eurovision movie, which obviously is it's set in Edinburgh as well, but it's also set in Iceland. It tells the story of two Icelandic contestants, aka Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams. And yeah, so they've opened up a museum dedicated to Iceland's place in Eurovision in the real contest. And it looks really cool.
Do you remember we went to a Eurovision museum, which was actually the ABBA museum, but they just tacked on a Eurovision museum onto the beginning of it.
Yes.
And I just, there wasn't a great deal in that. And that was only one room. So I'm thinking, can they really make a whole, I mean, really?
It'll be a small museum. It'll probably, you know, I mean, I've been, I'll just tell you, Martin, I've been to a museum in Iceland.
I know what you're going to say. I remember this. Come
Do
on
know,
then.
You know the museum.
Yeah,
I've
know
been
the museum.
To a museum.
Come on then. What museum did you go to?
Was it any bigger than Eurovision? Well, it was the Penis Museum. Mm. I've been to the Penis Museum in Iceland.
Of course you have.
And what an eyeful I got.
Okay.
Let me just say, don't get those two mixed up if you're going to Iceland. You'll be quite confused. If you go to the Eurovision Museum looking for a particular thing, you won't find it there. But what you will find is lots of great Eurovision memorabilia. I mean, it's basically... They've got stuff like they've got Darthys, the clothes that they wore for the Eurovision final. They've got, I mean, it does look kind of cool. They've got some stuff from Song for Kepin, which is obviously their national final. They've got Hatari's Pugel stick. They've got Gagne Magnev's keytars. So, yeah, I would say it's probably not a huge museum. I don't know if you have to pay to enter it. I can find that out. But it does look fun. I mean, I would want to go. If I was in Iceland, especially Húsavík, which looks like a really pretty place anyway, I think I'd want to go. I think we should try and get people from the museum on to try and sell it to us more.
Yeah, I reckon so as well, because you're right. I am very interested to know, other than the things you've listed, what is in the Eurovision Museum. Okay, we will try and make that happen. We will ask the questions. In the meantime, though, Cress, what's it time for?
Well, it's time for Trivia Time!
Oh, yes, it is the bit of the podcast where we give you a little bit of information that you probably didn't know about the Eurovision Song Contest. And this time it's Laura Kress with some important info.
Yes, well, the thing is, you were mentioning last week, Martha, I remember you mentioning you gave a very quick thing about Andrew Lloyd Webber taking part in the contest. Yeah. But we didn't really get round to what his role was and what he was doing. So I thought I'd make that a little bit clearer for you in case anybody was wondering. Well, of course, I think as we all know now, he helped write the song for Jade Ewan in 2009, My Time. He wrote it with Diane Warren. It's My Time, it's actually called. A very successful song, I have to say. Do you know where that song finished?
10th.
No, even better. It finished 5th.
Really?
Yeah, and I think at the time, I don't remember that being made a big deal of, but a really, really good outing, considering it was 2009. Really good outing for the UK. The most successful Eurovision act since 2002 at that time, and way more successful than anything followed it. I think the best we've done since then is 15th, maybe. Andrew Lloyd Webber penned it. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but here's a little extra sort of trivia time bit about that. But Andrew Lloyd Webber was almost replaced by a body double because he was due to... What? You were saying, wasn't Andrew Lloyd Webber on stage playing the piano? That's what he did. Jade Ewan sang, and he was on stage playing the piano alongside her. But he was almost replaced with a body double at Eurovision because he was so nervous.
Really?
Yeah. This is, I mean, I'm reporting this. This is in the Metro. So, you know, this is...
Gotta be true.
pinch of salt here. But this is what Jade Ewan told. She's speaking on a podcast, apparently, and she said on the podcast. So if Jade's saying it, then it sounds like it might be true. She said she was almost joined on stage by a body double because Andrew Lloyd Webber, he was so nervous before the live Eurovision Grand Final. A body double had to, apparently, be flown out as a precaution.
I love how they've got them on standby just in case.
Who are these people? Yeah. Who are these people? Andrew Lloyd Webber's body double that they're like, right, he's not sure again. It might be your time. And they're going, it's my time. It's my time. And they're like, sorry, mate, it's not your time. Andrew's ready. Apparently Jay said he was so nervous they had to have a body double or another pianist flown out just in case he couldn't go to perform because he was accompanying me live. I was trying to reassure him, thinking, hang on a minute, I'm the one that's got to sing. This is the biggest audience I've ever seen in my life, and this is live, and the pressure's on me. And I'm like, it's okay, Andrew.
Yeah, that is kind of ridiculous. Also, I'm pretty sure that nobody plays live instruments on stage at Eurovision, so he definitely would have been miming. It's the
Do
only
you think
person,
so? even with acoustic stuff.
Yeah, they don't allow. I'm pretty sure that you aren't allowed to play live music because old Alexander Rybak with his violin, he wasn't playing the violin live.
No,
and I'm pretty sure all the people with their traditional instruments.
All instruments and music should be pre-recorded with no live instrumentation allowed. But I wonder, when did that come into force?
Oh,
I do wonder.
I'm sure it would have been by 2009.
By 2000, I think you're probably right, yeah. But he was just nervous then. Nervous about
miming
there,
playing the piano, a thing he does for his job and he's done for decades. I don't know. I mean, hey, it is scary, sure, but you're right. Old Jade, she had the bigger job. She was actually singing live.
She had to sing live. So bless her. I love that she was had to be like, hang on a minute. I'm the one that's supposed to be singing live here.
That's great. I love that fact. And what a brilliant, I have to say, take my hat off to you there. That's some proper good sleuthing.
Thank you.
And information brought to you on this edition of...
Trivia Time.
Great stuff.
Thank you.
And it's given me more questions as well. I want to know a lot more about that. Great. If you do have any sort of little nuggets of information like that that will wow both of us, then please, please do let us both know, because I love those facts.
Yeah,
I love those
great,
little things. And the details of how to get in touch are coming your way very, very soon after we've heard from some of what you've been saying, because there's been people getting in touch about all sorts of things this week.
They have indeed. Yes. And thank you so much to Jem. Got in touch with your you were talking last week, Martin, about your date or your non-date. And
I can give you an update on that if you like.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Okay. So go into the story, explain what happened very briefly, and then give us the update.
So I'd been talking to somebody on a dating app. I'd been talking to them quite a lot, and we were due to meet. We were meant to meet, and then just 2 hours before we were meant to meet, all of a sudden, a text was received, and it said something like, "Oh, I've just been called into work. Can we rain check?" And then no follow up. So I can tell you now that, I mean, over a week has passed, and I have not received another message.
Oh, that's the update then, that there's no update. She's not said anything.
The update is that I'm pretty sure my suspicions that it was a load of old nonsense and that she didn't really have to work at all have been confirmed.
And what does she work as?
She is cabin crew.
So Jem thinks it was a genuine excuse.
I don't believe you.
Says, Martin, it was a genuine excuse. She is clearly practicing her flying the flag scooch routine with her colleagues to impress you, Martin.
Yeah. And she's still working on it now. This better be amazing.
She's flying the flag all over for you.
For me.
Martin.
Thank you. Well, unfortunately, I'm never going to be seeing that particular performance.
Oh, God. But thank you for that, Jem. And if you would like to get in touch, do you think Senit should host Eurovision next year? Or do you think Mika should, maybe? What would you like to see? If there was a Eurovision museum, not just in Iceland, but anywhere in the world, what would you like to see in it? Do let us know. And do you have a body double? That's what I'd like to know.
And have you ever fainted in an optician?
Have you ever fainted in an optician? All of these great talking points. Do get in contact. No Poor Podcast on Instagram. Drop us a DM. You can also contact us. We're on Twitter, @PoirNull, and nopoirpodcast@gmail.com if you want to send us an email.
Thank you very much. And it's been great to have you along on this edition of Null Poir. We'll see you again very, very soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I still can't believe you faint at opticians.
Yeah, it happens.